Well, I appreciate that song. Thank you very much. And it was really touching of my heart there. I want to thank the church again for taking such great care of us. We don't deserve it, but you've really treated us like kings and queens, and I just want to give you our heartfelt thanks. The room was fantastic, the meal today and the fellowship. It's just, we feel at home here, and we appreciate that. Very friendly church, and a church that's on fire for God. And we a lot of times going on our travels, they're few and far in between, so we thank you for that. As we go in today, or this evening, I should say, we're going to look at a topic that is familiar to a lot of you, where the terminology that we'll be using is familiar to a lot of you. And we're going to be talking about, are we accomplishing our mission? Are we accomplishing our mission? So if you'll be with me here in the book of Haggai chapter 1, we're going to look at a very familiar verse, or verses, some that you have read and been taught from, I'm sure, many times. But here in Haggai chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I like what your pastor said this morning. Once you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, Haggai chapter 1 and verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I want you to think about that term, consider your ways. "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And so I wanted to look at this phrase, consider your ways. I know where Haggai is speaking here, and he's trying to talk about the people's negligence in these different areas. But I wanted to look at here using it with, are we fulfilling the mission that God has for us to do? Now I know not everyone is called to preach, or not everyone is called to go in the mission field, to go in foreign lands. However, we have a mission. Every one of us in this room has a mission.
Right.
Matter of fact, you can see it on the back wall where it says our mission field. So we have a job to accomplish. And the Lord's going to show us here using different passages about, and I have 3 points here. We have our arrangement, our attitude, and our action. And see how we're doing in accomplishing the mission. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here with your people and to have you speak to us through your word. And Father, we do ask that you will be here in power, and that you will touch us and help us to reflect on how we're doing with the mission that you have bestowed upon us. And we ask, any Father, that where we're lacking, that we'll get it corrected tonight. And that, Father, we will have more of a vigor to go out and to speak to the lost and to bring them to Christ, any Father. And Father, we just want to give you all the glory and all the praise and everything that's said and done. And that, Father, we look forward to seeing what you're about to accomplish here tonight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated here. I noticed, of course, you know, being right next door to the Air Force Base, that this church has a great influence with the military. I understand that. Maybe not everybody's in the military, but you're affiliated somehow with the military. And I just want to give you, or to say thank you for your service for the military. I was also in the Air Force, and I love the Air Force. I thought it was a great life, but then the Lord called me, or saved me, and called me into full-time Christian service. I was the Christian school principal at our church for 17 years. So I got out of the Air Force, went in and came on staff at our church and worked at the school. But the military has been very good. My father was in the military. My grandfather was in the military. And so I just love the military. And I hold a high respect to those who also served in the military.
Amen.
But we have a mission. You all know what a mission is. The mission here, here at the base, I'm not quite sure. I know you have the B-2 bombers, and I have worked those while they were in Europe, but they came back, of course, to Missouri. But as an air traffic controller, our mission was to get the airplanes off the ground, get them to their destination to accomplish what they needed to do, and then bring them back safely. That was our mission. And then other parts, other units had other missions. But the overall mission was to protect the United States. That was the mission. We all worked together to get that mission accomplished. And so as Christians, we have a mission as well. We have a very important mission. We are to follow in Christ's call, sharing the gospel to the lost, and through using God's wisdom and strength to go out there into the highways and byways and tell others about Christ. That's our mission. He gave that to the church. We're not just to sit idle by, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. But I remember reading a story one time, and of course it wasn't from a very conservative paper, but it was a story that caught my interest, where a man used to fly a lot, before COVID of course, but he used to fly a lot, and he liked to give a statement to the person that was sitting next to him. And I wrote this the statement down here. This is what this man liked to say. He says, "What have you done in your life that you believe in or are proud of?" Now that's kind of a strange question coming from somebody who's sitting next to you on an airplane. But this is what he asked. And as you was imagine, a lot of people was like, they were stuttering and trying to figure out what they're going to say, and it didn't come out as well a lot of times. But a lady came down and answered right away. And she said, "I am the mother of three, and every day I work to instill morals and values into my children so they grow up to be kind human beings." Now, then that has some other tendencies that we can spin off on. However, the idea is that she is trying to instill principles in her children to be what they need to be when they grow up. Now, this is what this man was asking, and I want us to consider that also in our own life. What have we done in our lives that we believe in or are proud of? We have a great mission in front of us. Matter of fact, I mentioned it here this morning in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We are supposed to be like Christ. Now, we can't save them. We can't do that. However, we can go out and bring them to Christ who can save them. That's our job. That's our mission. And so I want to look at that mission here tonight by using three different areas, going in three different directions, but tying all together towards the end. And so our first one we're looking at is our arrangement here. If you'll turn over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I want to show you a verse here in verse 48. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 48. And I want to show our arrangement here. What is our position? What are we standing right now? And we see here in 1 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 48, "Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezon-Geber." Now we see something here. Ships were developed. Ships were made. Have you ever seen pictures on the internet maybe or videos of those giant ships that they produce to go on the Great Lakes or on the oceans, and you watch them launch and go like sometimes sideways into the water, and the massive wave that they produce? I mean, these are giant ships, huge ships, and they were built for a reason. They were built to go out to take cargo and to bring cargo back over the oceans, over the great seas. They just didn't build them to have them sit at the harbor. That'd be a waste of money, a waste of time. So these ships has a purpose. Well, I want us to see and picture us as ships. We have a purpose. We are not just to sit idle by. We have a job to accomplish. We have to go over the ocean, so to speak. And that means even going across the street to our neighbors. But we have to go into the troubled waters, the dangerous waters, and to deliver our cargo. Our cargo is giving the word of God, the gospel, to the lost. And then bring the cargo back. Bring them to church. Let them hear the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit really grab a hold of their heart. That's our mission. But I want you to notice something here in this verse, okay? In 1 Kings chapter 22, we have a purpose, a place to go, and rewards to bring back. That's what God has for us. But I want you to notice something here. These ships never left the dock. They never went on the ocean. And it says that they rotted and they were broken. They didn't accomplish what they were built to do. Now, let's apply that to us here today. Okay? If we never leave our dock, what's our dock? The local church. This is our dock. This is where it's safe. And when we have ships and they're in the docks, they're protected by the weather. So the ships are not beaten or cast to and fro. They are protected there. It's the same with us as Christians. We can sit in our dock and we can hear message after message and be blessed and hearing great things from God. But God is saying to us, you need to leave the dock. Just don't moor yourself here and do nothing. We need to get out into the ocean. We need to get out where, yeah, it's kind of dangerous at times. People are going to say stuff to you that you really don't want to hear or do things to you. But what's that in comparison with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? We need to get out on the oceans. And so we see here, I wrote down a couple things from this one verse here, that a servant of God, they need to have in their heart a plan to go. These ships, they had a plan to go. They were supposed to go to Ophir. They're supposed to bring in the gold. They had a plan. But it never was accomplished. My mom had a saying when we were growing up. She said, procrastination is the assassination of motivation. A lot of times I believe a lot of people that go to great churches procrastinate. They will say, well, I'm going to go door knocking. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. I'm going to go on mission trips. And then when they come up to it, that day or that hour, all of a sudden the excuse comes up and they don't show up or they don't go. They procrastinate. And when that happens, that kills the motivation. And we need to let go of those chains of procrastination. Don't let that hold you back. Satan is going to do everything he can in his power to keep you here in the docks. He can't have your soul. You're saved. There's nothing he can do about that. But he can stop you from telling others about Christ by keeping you here in the docks. We need to let go of those bands and go out and let other people know what Christ has done in our lives and that he'll do that in their lives. But we need to let go of this procrastination. Get rid of those chains. Get rid of the fear of failing. Okay? It's going to happen. You're going to have fear. Speaking in front of people, there's fear. Talking to people about Jesus Christ, there's some fear there. But let the Lord do it. Didn't Moses have fear? What did he say? I'll be your mouthpiece. Let God work. Let him do his job. Go through it. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But get rid of that fear and open up your faith and say, Lord, wherever you take me, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Even if that means going to your next door neighbor, which sometimes can be difficult, or to your family members, or to your coworkers, or wherever the Lord calls you to go, go. Don't procrastinate anymore. There's a plan that needs to be done. And if that the plan that God has for you to do and it's not being accomplished, well, it has to go into somebody else. Don't just stay in the docks. Release those ropes off the moorings. Secondly, a servant should have in their heart a place to go. We have a place to go. What did Jesus Christ tell gave the Great Commission to the church? He said, go ye where? To all the world. That means here in Namnoster. That means Berlin, Germany. All the world. Not just to sit here in the church and not go out and tell other people. He has a place for us to go. And we need to go out there and get it done. Here we see Jehoshaphat. They had a place to go. I mean, the place was sitting right, it's there. All the ships had to do was get out of the docks and go. They had the gold there to pick up. It was sitting. It was ready to go. But they never left the dock. They stayed there. And then what happens when you stay at the dock? If you don't use it, it's going to break. Amen. And that's what happened with these ships. And it's the same thing would happen with people who do not leave the docks. They will perish in the docks. Now, you, like I said, you'd be going to a great church, hearing great messages, but are you completing what God wants you to do? Because every single one of us needs to go out and to tell others. That is the plan. That's what we need to be off and running. I had a 1965 Ford Mustang. I kept it for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. I lived in North Dakota. And so in the wintertime, which is usually October through March, April, it's really cold. The roads are slippery. I didn't drive my car on the roads then because I didn't want anybody else to hit me. I didn't want it to be damaged. So I let it sit in the garage. And in the summertime, I would take it out. But because it sat for all those months, it would take me a month or a month and a half to get all the bugs worked out of it because it sat there and did nothing. I did more repairing than I did driving. But that's what happens when you don't use equipment. It breaks. When you don't fix the houses, you don't use houses, they fall apart. It's the same thing with us spiritually. If you do not use what you're taught from preachers and from teachers and what you read in God's Word, you're going to forget it and it's going to be wasted. We need to apply this. Now, granted, it is the old saying, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what the ships were built for. And it's the same with us. We are not just to sit here. We need to get out and do what we are supposed to do. Now, there's going to be times we're going to fall. We're going to fail. But we have great examples in God's Word where we have Peter, John, Mark. They failed, didn't they? But they went back onto the ocean. And they were used greatly. Don't let Satan whisper into your ears like, oh, you're not going to accomplish anything. Well, you're right. You can't accomplish anything. But God can through you. And so let him do that for you. Let him work through you. And that you will see great workings when you leave the dock. Now, you need to be at the docks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't come to church. I'm not saying that at all. You need to be here. Get the instruction. But don't be afraid to go outside these walls, outside the city or your neighbors, and to tell others about Christ. Amen. Don't be afraid to do that. Leave this and go on out. And so, like I said, every one of us has a purpose in life. And the Lord gave us that for us to share for other people to hear. For Christians, our missions needs to be centered around Christ. Not ourselves. Not the church. It's around Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be showing. We are supposed to be the light of the world. People should see light in us. People should see where we're showing the light. We are supposed to be salt. We're supposed to have flavor. We need to be speaking in words that will draw others to hear of the gospel. That is what we need to be doing. And we need to be fulfilling the Great Commission there and going ye into all the world. Now, once again, that says go ye. And that means every individual person to go out there. So that's our arrangement. Secondly, we have our attitude. Our attitude. Christians' mission is to be sharing Christ. Our mission is to proclaiming Christ as the only Savior from sin. There's a lot of religions out there. In Berlin alone, there's every religion you can think of. Matter of fact, they're building a building right now in central Berlin. And it's called Drei Religion, Eins Haus, which means three religions, one house. They have a temple, they have a mosque, and they have a church all under one roof. You think we're getting to the end times? One world religion. It's coming. And Berlin is having this house built as we speak right now. You see these different religious leaders shaking hands out there. And it is coming to the point where we need to get out and tell others about what the truth is saying. We can't just let it sit by. We need to go out to all the nations, to all the ethnic groups. Okay, so I understand, like I said, not everyone is going to go out to a foreign land, to unreached areas. But we do need to get out outside these walls and to share Christ. So how do we do that? What's our attitude? Well, I want to show you what our attitude should be like when we're out sharing the gospel. And I mentioned these guys in Sunday school today. So if you turn over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And I mentioned these four men who were carrying this paraplegic man to see Christ. And so I want you to look at this and listen to these verses here. Starting in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached a word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So I want you to see something here. What is our attitude? Is our attitude like these four men here? Is our attitude like these four men? Okay, let's break this down. They were willing to do something very difficult. Something very difficult. These four men. Now, of course, this man probably wasn't in Capernaum. They heard that Jesus Christ was in Capernaum, and so they took their friend who needed salvation, who needed, like the leprous man this morning, who had a physical problem, but more importantly, he had a spiritual problem. And these four guys picked up this man on a stretcher, I would imagine, and they carried him to Capernaum. Probably not an easy task, a very difficult task. This man that was paraplegic, he couldn't do nothing. He couldn't take care of himself. He needed a help from all aspects of life. And these four guys picked him up and said, "We heard Christ is in Capernaum. Let's go take him to Capernaum." They dared to do the difficult. They did something that was hard. And that needs to be our attitude when we are looking to complete our mission. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But we need to be willing to do the difficult. Amen. Winning family members or showing family members Jesus Christ, going with our co-workers, going with our friends, that's not easy to do. Mm-hmm. But it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that we are supposed to be doing. We need to have this attitude that they had and to be willing to do the difficult, no matter how hard it is. And then also, they did something that no one else ever thought of. They went to the door. They couldn't get through the door. Too many people. I'm sure they asked them, "Hey, excuse me, we want to get our friend here. Get away from me. I'm trying to listen to Christ." So they said, "Okay, let's go to the windows." They go to the windows. They couldn't get in because so many people are listening in through the windows. And so they're saying, "Well, sorry, buddy. We tried to get you in to see Christ, but we can't get through here. And so be ye warmed and filled and walked away. That's not what the Bible says. They found another way. They found something that no one else has ever done. They broke open the roof. So we'll get our friend in there. And they chopped open the roof. They busted the roof. Now, who else was in listening to Jesus Christ during this time? The Pharisees were there. Okay? Jesus Christ knows exactly what's going on. But he's still teaching. He's still teaching the people there as they're listening. But can you imagine what the Pharisees are saying in their minds? All of a sudden, they start feeling dirt and stuff falling on their heads and around their feet. And they're going, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, a hole opens up in the roof. And the hole gets bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, they start seeing a stretcher coming down from the roof right in front of Christ. Can you imagine what the Pharisees were thinking? Like, what in the world? But see, we need to have that attitude. We need to think of some ways to get the gospel to people where people have never thought of before. We have many different avenues we can use. Why aren't we using them? As long as they don't go against the principles of God's word, let's use them. Let's get the gospel out to these people. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. So they did the unorthodox. They did something no one else ever thought of. And we need to do the same thing. And then I also want you to know that when they broke open that roof, was this their house? Did they live in this house, these four guys? This wasn't their house. But yet they broke open the roof. Who's going to repair that? These men were willing to do something to repair, if necessary, the roof of this house. And it took a lot of work to put these roofs together. It wasn't an easy task. But they were willing to put this together in order so that their friend can come to Christ. We need to do the costly. Just like these men. That's our attitude. Our attitude, we need to do the costly. That includes time and money. Time and money. If one person gets saved, it is worth it. That's the attitude we need to have. If it costs us something, so be it. Let's pay it and let's bring others to Christ. That's the attitude that we need to have, that we need to really grab a hold of. These friends, it didn't really matter to them about the difficult or unorthodox way of getting or the cost of it. Their main goal was to get their friend to Christ. And what happened? Look in the next verse here, in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He was saved. Now later on in the story, he's also healed. But he's saved. Wasn't that the goal in the very beginning? Wasn't that their mission to get him to Christ and to come to salvation? And it was accomplished. That is what we need to be doing every day. Even if it's one mission a day, talking to somebody and bringing them to Christ. If that get mission accomplished, then go on to the next mission. But that's what we need to be doing every single day. Our mission doesn't stop with one person. Now we know the song and we know the mathematics, each one reach one, and how exponentially how that really spreads and fire catches on. That is true. But don't stop with just one. Keep going. Really make that mathematical equation explode. Because that's what we need to be doing here. The Christian's mission involves not only evangelism, though, it also involves discipleship. When one comes to Christ, just don't leave them by the wayside. They don't know the Bible very well. They need to learn the Bible. Take them under your wings. Show them. Disciple them. Because if you leave them by the wayside, they're going to be easy prey for Satan to take away. Embrace them and help them. And then bring them along to help to bring others to Christ. And so that is our, should be our attitude. But lastly, I want you to see here, how do we accomplish this? Okay? We know that we are ships, so to speak, and we're in the docks, and we have a job to do. We have a mission. We have a plan. And we need to get out there and take it. And we know what our attitude should be like. We should have the attitude like these four men had here and really go out there and do the difficult, do the unorthodox, do the costly. That should be our attitude. But how do we do that? What needs to be done? How can we do these things? Because it still seems, boy, this is awful hard to do. Well, I want to show you another part of the Bible and how we can apply it so we can really put our feet down into the ground and get running. Go over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Again, another passage that you know very well. Here we see in Acts chapter 12 that Peter's in jail. And the church is praying for him throughout the evening here. But Herod, King Herod, wants to put him to death. And so he's in the prison. But he couldn't do it that day because of Easter. So he had to wait. So now Peter's in jail. And so this is where we have the story here. If we start looking here in verse 5. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And right there is a whole other Bible lesson that we can be preaching on just right there with that verse. But then it says here in verse 6, and when Herod would not have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Wow, Peter must be a very dangerous man. Two guards, and these are some stout men, chained to Peter, and they have other guards outside the gate, outside the door. Wow, this guy is very dangerous to the populace. But what was Peter doing? Peter was sleeping. Would you be sleeping knowing that the next day your head's going to be cut off? Probably not. But Peter knew something. Peter knew that God wasn't done with him yet. God had a plan for him. God had a mission for him to accomplish. And he was at great peace. And right there, there's a whole other message just right there. That you can preach on and study out. But here, let's keep on. How can we apply what we have learned so far? Well, look here in verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And so we hear the light comes in, and you can imagine they probably blinded these two guards that are chained to Peter. But Peter doesn't waken up. He is not awoken. And so the angel had to go there and kick him. "Hey, Peter, hello, I'm here." So he kicked him to get him to awake. And then what did he say to do? The angel gave him some instruction. He tells him here, he says, rise up, he's saying, "Rise up quickly." Now, was Peter handicapped in any way? Did his legs work? Did his arms work? Could he physically get up? Yeah, he could. And so when the angel said, "Rise up quickly," what did Peter do? He rose up quickly. He obeyed immediately. He did what he was told to do by the angel. And when he did what he could do, what happened next? The chains fell off. Could Peter take those chains off? There was no way in the world. But notice what the plan. Notice the steps here. Notice the directions going on here. When he obeyed immediately, doing what he could do, he could stand up. He can do what the angel told him to do, and he did it. The next thing, God did the impossible. Took the chains off his hands. So, how do we go out and accomplish our mission? We're going to read on here in a second. But how do we accomplish our mission? You do what you can do. You can go to your neighbors. You can knock on the door. You can speak to them. Do what you can do. That's all God asks. God asks you to do it and to do it immediately. Don't procrastinate. Remember, we talked about that already. We procrastinate, what happens? We start rotting. Don't procrastinate. Especially here at the base. People get rotated. Don't let them leave without hearing about the gospel. Do what you can. And let God do the impossible. Only God can save. Let Him do it. Don't get in His way. Don't say, God, I got this. I'll take care of this. Get out of the way. You do what you can do and let God do what He does. Okay, let's read on. Here in verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. The possible. He can put on the cloak. He can put on his shoes. That's possible to do. What happens? Cast thy garment, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. The chains are off now, right? So he can follow the angel. And notice once again, Peter's doing this immediately. He's not making excuses. Well, Lord, hold on here. My mother-in-law is coming into town. Can you give me a day or two and then I'll come out there? That's not what happened here. He says, get up, put your shoes on, put your garment on, and follow me. And Peter did that immediately. So what happens? And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by an angel, but thought he saw a vision. But they were past the first and second ward. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter followed immediately, obeyed what the angel wanted him to do, what happened? He was able to just push the door open. Could Peter do that before this time? No way. But he did what he could do, and God did the impossible. Opened the door. And then he went on the street. Now, there's a whole other message here as well. Notice where Peter went. He noticed he didn't go to the fishing boat. Where did he go immediately? He went to where they were praying. He went to where they were praying. So let's do the possible. Our actions are to do the possible and let God do the impossible. It's the same thing in Berlin. We can hand out tracts. We can speak to people. We can go door to door. Even in Berlin, I can put stuff in mailboxes. Okay? That's not against the law there. So I can put stuff in mailboxes and on cars. And we can talk to people. We can do that. But I can't save them. Only God can do that. So we'll do what we can and let God do what He does. And that's how we're going to see that city come to Christ. But it takes every one of us, my wife and I, Omid, and others, to really get involved in going out and talking to people and bringing them in. It's the same thing here in the United States. Same thing here in Nam Noster. Get out of the pews, get out of the docks, and go out there and tell others. And let the mission be accomplished. Christians are responsible to understand, to share the gospel, and to have that relationship with Christ. Such relationship will have people mock you. Okay? But don't let it down you. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You're going to have the hard times. You're going to have people talk about you. We've had that in Berlin. But we can't let it stop us. We have to accomplish what the Lord wants us to do. God could convert everyone the same way he did with Paul. You know, with the bright light and a speaking with a voice like a trumpet. He could do that, but that's not his purpose. That's not doing it. He wants to use us. That's where we learn there in Acts. We won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, we have a mission of reconciliation. We have a job to do, and God wants us to do that. I don't really follow John Wesley, but he had some good sayings, and I wrote down here a saying here that he said, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, and the whole world for my mission field." That needs to be our attitude. We have a lot of false religions going out there and getting the job done where we need to be going out and doing. We have the Jehovah Witnesses. We have the Seventh-day Adventists. We have the Mormons. We have the Catholics. We have the Lutherans. We have all these different groups out there, but yet we need to get out there and just spread the true gospel, not a false one. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So going back to that first question, okay, going back to where that, like that man, what do you believe in and how are you working toward that? Remember back in Haggai, consider your ways. Are you fulfilling the mission that God has called us to do? Every one of us has that job that we need to do. And every day we need to ask the Lord, help me accomplish what you want me to do. Those people that come into our paths, those are divine appointments. God has put them there for a reason, for you to tell them about Christ. Are we fulfilling that mission? And our Christian's mission is to obey Christ, share Christ, and rely on Christ. Are you fulfilling that mission by reaching the lost for Him? The Lord works through us to rescue them. There is no greater mission for us to accomplish. There's a great mission here at this base. But there's nothing bigger, nothing better than fulfilling the mission that Christ has for us. Are you fulfilling that mission? That's the question tonight that I want you to ask yourself and have the Lord reveal to you. Pastor.